We come now to God's Word this morning. We're continuing forward in our series in Luke's Gospel. We are in Luke chapter 11 this morning. So I want you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word or in your pew Bible to Luke chapter 11. We're going to pick up this passage at verse 45 and read onward through chapter 12, verse 3. And so we'll begin reading at Luke 11, verse 45. Let's give our attention now to the reading of God's Word. One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you, lawyers, also! For you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering.' As they went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples, 'First, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops.'" Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. We're going to try that again. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are thankful for your word. What a gracious thing it is to have a God who speaks, who has revealed his will to us, Father. And we thank you that you have not left us as orphans, that you have come to us. You've given us of your very spirit. And so, Father, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would come, that he would enlighten our eyes, that he would open our ears to hear this word to us, Lord, that he would expose our hearts and apply the healing balm of the gospel. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of the truths that our parents tried to instill in us from an early age, it's a truth that Allie and I try to instill in our children, the truth that our actions have consequences. Something we begin to learn from an early age, isn't it? When our parents warned us about jumping off the coffee table, and we didn't listen, and we fell and busted our head, what did we learn? That our actions have consequences. And as we get a little bit older, the consequences just change slightly, don't they? When our parents warned us when we were teenagers about staying out late with our friends and failing to study, that would impact our grades, did we listen? No. And what happened? We learned that our actions have consequences. And even now, as adults, we're still learning this lesson. When we have a long holiday weekend like we did a few weeks ago, and we overindulge on that delicious food and the desserts over that long and relaxing weekend, when we step on that scale on that Tuesday morning, the number that we see, what does it show us? That our actions have had consequences. And this is a lesson that Jesus is teaching these Pharisees here in Luke chapter 11, the consequences of their actions. He's shown them, and the last time we saw that, he's shown them the cause of their hypocrisy, where hypocrisy came from in their hearts, the way that they've focused on external performance rather than internal heart change, the way that they've been majoring on the minors of obedience and neglecting justice and the love of God, the way that they've been living for their own glory, living for their own honor rather than for the glory and the honor of God. And in their hidden spiritual deadness, which had infected their hearts and left them like unmarked graves, these were the causes of their religious hypocrisy. It exposed the causes, and now, in the second half of this passage, he wants them to see the way that their actions have had consequences. He wants them to see the consequences of their religious hypocrisy, the way that their religious hypocrisy had affected their hearts, the way that it had affected the community of faith, and what the results had been. And so as we turn our attention to the second half of this passage this morning, I would encourage us all to take heed of the words of Christ. Let us not just hear these words for someone else who we think perhaps needs to hear them. Let us hear them for ourselves. Because in this passage, Christ exposes the consequences of our hypocrisy as well. He graciously shows us the effects that hypocrisy has on our hearts as Christians, the way that hypocrisy affects the community of faith. And he exposes this in us because he loves us, because he wants us to see the dangerous consequences of sin. He wants to lead us away from that dangerous path and back to life in him. You see, in order to deal with the reality of hypocrisy in our hearts, in order to deal with the reality of hypocrisy in our lives, even in the community of faith, we need to see it for what it is. We need to see that it is not this small and insignificant condition that we can manage. It is a seriously dangerous disease that has seriously dangerous consequences for us. It's a disease that we need to be cured of and to be healed of by God's grace. We find three consequences of hypocrisy in this passage. Three consequences in the form of these three woes or three warnings to these Jewish religious leaders. The three consequences of hypocrisy. Consequence number one, the crushing burden of performance. The crushing burden of performance. If you look back at verse 45 with me, it says, "One of the lawyers answered him, 'Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also.'" Christ had just been addressing the Pharisees in the first half of this passage. And as we said last time, we should not think about the Pharisees in extremes. We should not try to put a whole bunch of distance between ourselves and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious good guys of the day. What Jesus said to them, he would say to many churches in our day. But also listening among this crowd were the scribes, or the lawyers, or the teachers of the law. Their role in the community of faith was to teach and interpret the word of God to the people of God. Most lawyers were also Pharisees. That's why one of the lawyers says to Jesus here as he's been listening, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And instead of backing down, Jesus turns right back to the lawyer and says in verse 46, "Woe to you lawyers also." And he says this because the lawyers are the ones who were taking the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and teaching it. They were taking that religious hypocrisy and giving it a platform. And their teaching, their hypocrisy, was having dire consequences. We see the first consequence in verse 46, where Jesus goes on to say, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." See, the teaching of the lawyers Their hypocrisy had become this heavy, crushing burden on the backs of the people of God. A burden that these lawyers would not touch themselves. The crushing burden of performance. This is what hypocrisy does to us. Hypocrisy says you are justified based on how well you perform a certain set of rules and regulations. You're justified based on your obedience to a certain set of legal standards. If you want God to be pleased with you, if you want other people to be pleased with you, you had better work for it. You better perform. This looked like the lawyers in this day heaping the crushing burden of extra-biblical rules and regulations on the backs of God's people, telling them how many steps they could take on the Sabbath, prescribing an ornate set of religious rituals for cleansing before a meal, crushing people underneath the burden of, if you want to be accepted by God, if you want to be accepted by us, you need to work for it. And of course, the hypocrisy of the lawyers was they were not even willing to perform these standards that they were imposing on the people of God. And this is what hypocrisy does to us as the people of God. When we functionally believe in our heart of hearts that we are accepted by God, that we're accepted by one another on the basis of what we do, on the basis of being good enough or doing good enough, we will place on our shoulders a burden that we cannot bear. And we'll place upon each other's shoulders a burden that we cannot bear. And we, as evangelical Christians, are not immune to this. We may think, perhaps, that we've moved way beyond the antiquated legalism of Footloose. No dancing, no music, no playing cards, no fun whatsoever. We may think that we've moved way beyond such legalism as modern evangelical Christians, but we've not. That's what Michael Reeves points out in his very helpful little book, Evangelical Pharisees. He says that even people like us, people like you and I, people who might think of themselves as gospel people, even we can fall into the mindset of the Pharisees. And what's at the core of that mindset, he says? It's self-reliance. Self-reliance, which says, you are enough. You're enough. And if you just try enough and do enough, you can be enough for God and for others. He goes on to write, when we do not put all our confidence and hope in the mercy of God, we will put it somewhere else. We will trust in our performance, our feelings, our abilities, or our ministry. Here's how we know if we're living under the crushing burden of performance. What do you do with your sin, with your weakness, with your failure, with your anxieties, with your doubts, and with your fears? Where do you go with those realities? If we're living under the crushing burden of performance, we will tend to stuff those realities deep down inside, where we can ignore them, where nobody can possibly see them. Never let them see the light of day. Never let anybody see you sweat. And that is such a heavy burden to bear. You see, friends, one of the tragic consequences of hypocrisy in our hearts and hypocrisy in the community of faith is that when we believe that we're justified by what we do, the very place that we're supposed to be the most honest about who we are, the very place that we're supposed to be able to be the most real about who we are, is oftentimes the place that we are the least honest. A few diagnostic questions. When is the last time you felt comfortable confessing your sins to another Christian? Or have you ever felt like you could do that? Have you ever felt safe to be able to do that? When have you ever felt comfortable confessing your doubts your anxieties, all of your failures, all of your fears, those dark things that you're ashamed of? Beloved, this is the tragic consequence of hypocrisy. In our hearts and in the community of faith, hypocrisy leads us to creating an environment in which it's impossible to be honest about who we are. And we'll only ever live under the crushing, burdensome weight of, my job is to be okay. My job is to be okay even when I'm not. My job is to be good even when I'm not. My job is to feel good even when I don't. My job is to smile through the pain and perform my part flawlessly. And what a crushing burden that is. And so when faced with our sin and our struggles in that environment, we will always turn inward. We will hide in the darkness. We'll cover over. We'll hide in the darkness rather than coming into the glorious light of the grace and mercy of God given to us in Christ. That's consequence number one, the crushing burden of performance. Consequence number two, rejecting God's messengers. Rejecting God's messengers. Look back at verse 47 with me. It says, "Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed." Jesus confronts another consequence of hypocrisy in the hearts of these Pharisees and the lawyers. They were so focused on the external. They were so focused on cleaning up the outside of the dish. They were so focused on performance that they had been building these ornate tombs and memorials to the prophets of old. Prophets that their fathers had rejected. Prophets that their fathers had even killed. And this is the hypocrisy. Christ is in essence saying to them, you think that you're acting holy and religious because you build these tombs for God's messengers, the very messengers your fathers would not listen to, and the very messengers you will not listen to. Woe to you, hypocrites, he says here. It doesn't matter how many memorials you build. It doesn't matter what kind of outward show you put on. You and your fathers have both rejected the messengers of God. In essence, he's saying, if you want to honor the prophets of old, listen to them. Heed their words instead of building their tombs. And here's where this hypocrisy comes from in their hearts. You see, if hypocrisy places on our shoulders a crushing burden of performance in which we cannot be honest with God, we cannot be honest with one another about the state of our heart, what do you think we're going to do with a messenger from God who confronts us in our sin? What do you think we're going to do in that scenario? We will reject them with every fiber of our being. We will react to that conviction with sin, with anger, with resentment, and with ultimately rejection. And why is that? Because if that person is speaking to us from God's word, then what they are doing is shining the light of God's word onto us in our sin, and in our sin, we crave the darkness, and we hate the light. See, this is another tragic consequence of hypocrisy. If we cannot be honest with ourselves, if we cannot be honest with one another, when someone else tries to be honest with us from God's word, we'll stop up our ears. We'll harden our hearts. You see, hypocrisy makes it impossible to repent. Because you must keep up the facade. You must cover over your sin. You cannot let it go. You cannot be honest. And this is the sad history of the people of God. The history that Christ goes on to tell in verse 49 where he says, "Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles some of whom they will kill and persecute. Time and again, God sent his prophets. He sent his messengers to his people to warn them of their sin, to warn them of their hypocrisy, and to call them to repentance. And time and again, they would not listen. They persecuted them and they killed them. Here's how the prophet Isaiah describes the reaction of God's people to God's word in chapter 30 of Isaiah. Isaiah says, "They are a rebellious people, lying children, unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel.'" This is what hypocrisy does in our hearts. And while Scripture is silent as to how Isaiah died, there is some extra biblical evidence that he himself was martyred as a prophet. Some say that he was sawn in two by the order of King Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah. "I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute." Consequence number three, leading others to their death. Look back at verse 52 with me for a moment. Verse 52 says, "Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering." You see, these consequences continue to escalate, don't they? The crushing burden of performance leads to a rejection of God's messengers who call for repentance. And when this happens, the key of eternal life is taken away. The door of eternal life is shut, and they cannot enter it. This is what Jesus is saying here to the Pharisees and the lawyers. He's saying, "Don't you see what you're doing? I've entrusted you with the message of salvation by faith in a Redeemer, a message of repentance from sin, of turning away from sin, and faith in a merciful God who was promised to save. That message, that gospel message, is like a glorious key that unlocks the door to eternal life. And what have you done with it, Pharisees and lawyers? You've taken it away. You've taken away the key of eternal life and you've replaced it with self-salvation so that not only will you not enter, you're shutting the door for all who follow you." Elsewhere in Matthew 23, Christ says to the Pharisees in a parallel passage, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte." And that just means a convert. "For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." You see, beloved, religious hypocrisy is dangerous. In fact, it's eternally dangerous because it replaces a message of salvation, the gospel message, the message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It replaces that gospel message with a message of self-salvation, a message that cannot save, a message, in fact, of dead religion, a message of eternal death. See, coming to church and being taught a message of dead works, being reinforced in a message of religious hypocrisy, it's like walking up to the counter at a pharmacy in search of life-saving medicine and to have that pharmacist give you poison instead. And what a great tragedy this is, to be searching for a message of life and to instead receive a message of death. Now, you would think that this word of warning, the stern word of warning from the mouth of Christ, would lead to some repentance in the hearts of the Pharisees and the religious leaders. But as we read in verses 53 through 54, these words actually only further hardened their hearts. Just like their fathers before them, they rejected and ultimately would try to kill and would kill the prophet of the Lord. And so they began their plot to catch him in his words. They began their plot to kill him. You see, friends, one of the worst consequences of hypocrisy is that if it's left unchecked in our hearts, it will even harden our hearts towards Jesus. It will harden our hearts towards the message of salvation that he brings. Hypocrisy is dangerous. It's so dangerous that at the beginning of chapter 12, Christ turns to his disciples as these crowds are gathering around. He takes the time to say to his disciples in the beginning of chapter 12, "Beware! Watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Beloved, what Christ is telling his disciples here, what he is warning them about, what he is telling them is that hypocrisy is contagious. Hypocrisy is contagious. Hypocrisy spreads. Hypocrisy is like yeast or leaven, which spreads throughout the whole community of faith until it's affected the whole lump of dough. Hypocrisy is like the vines that I'm battling in my backyard right now, the kudzu that go through and infest and entangle every part of a forest until it's held in its grip. Hypocrisy spreads. Hypocrisy is contagious. It's one of the realities we see here at the end as we come to close. Friends, attitudes and actions in the church are contagious. And if I may be so bold as to ask, what attitudes and actions are spreading in our church right now? Have we cultivated a culture of humility, a culture of grace, a culture where we're quick to confess sins, quick to repent, quick to give and receive forgiveness, quick to make peace? Or have we cultivated a culture of hypocrisy, a culture of burdensome performance, a culture that covers over sin and hides, a culture in which we cannot be honest with one another about the condition of our hearts, a culture which makes it impossible to confess sins, impossible to repent, impossible to show any weakness at all, because we have to keep up this facade of religious pretending? Friends, attitudes and actions in the church are contagious. What are we spreading to one another? So where do we go from here? Where does Christ leave us? Does he leave us dead in our hypocrisy? Does he catch us and then leave us to figure it out on our own? Praise God, the answer is no. Christ has not left us in our hypocrisy. In fact, the reality that he has come to seek and to save the lost, the reality that he's still speaking to these hypocrites and he's still speaking to us, shows us that he has not left us in our hypocrisy. And so when we feel the conviction that this passage provides us, yes, if we look to ourselves, we're only going to feel condemnation. And so where must we look? We need to look to Jesus. The good news of Jesus Christ gives us the ability to admit our hypocrisy and run full speed towards his grace. The only answer for our hypocrisy is the gospel of grace found in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the only man who has ever lived that could never be charged with hypocrisy. He obeyed perfectly for us. He fulfilled perfectly the love and justice of God on the cross. Jesus did it all for us, and Jesus paid it all for us. And so Jesus does not heap up heavy burdens on our shoulders. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And so if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling heavy laden today, if you're exhausted from striving and pretending, turn to Jesus. Only Jesus can take that heavy load of hypocrisy off of our back. And he did. And if we're in him, he took it to the cross. He bore the weight of our sins. He bore the weight of our hypocrisy in his body on the tree. And so only Christ can heal us of our hypocrisy. Friends, here's the good news. You don't have to cover over your sin. If you're in Christ, Christ covers over your sin. His blood covers your sin, so we can let go of the pretense, let go of the facade, and step into the light of God's grace. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, these are hard words for us to hear. They're hard words for me to hear. It's hard to see ourselves as we are, Father. But what grace it is to be welcomed as sinful hypocrites to your presence because of your Son. Oh, Father, we thank you that you do not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities, Lord, that in Christ you've taken our sins, even hypocrisy, as far as the east is from the west, and you've removed them from us. You've buried them in the heart of the sea. Oh, Father, pour out your grace upon us this day. Give us the grace of seeing ourselves as we are. Give us the grace of running into the light to see the wonderful mercy that you have in store for us in your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.